Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast, boiling the water of conversation, pouring in the pasta of humour, waiting 10 minutes, then taking out the pasta of humour and chucking it at the wall to see if it's cooked.
Put a bit of salt in the water, maybe?
Bit of salt in the water, not olive oil. I've heard that's a myth.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Don't believe the myth.
Don't believe the myth. Don't believe the hype.
That's Ed Gamble there. My name is James Acaster. We own a dream restaurant and we invite in a guest every single week and ask them their starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. Dream style, not in that order. And this week...
Dream style?
Well, I realised that normally I'd say we ask them their favourite and I'd miss out the word favourite. Yeah. So I thought I would make dream sure style. People know we're not just asking them about...
anything.
You know, their start and main... it is their dream.
It's dream style.
Yeah. And this week, our guest is... Alex Jones.
Alex Jones, a wonderful broadcaster, TV presenter, host of The One Show, James.
The One Show. If you are listening from abroad and don't know what The One Show is...
It's a British institution.
It's the first show that was ever on TV. Is that correct?
Yeah. It's the only show on TV.
It's the only show on TV. We've both had the privilege of being on it and being interviewed about... You know, often it's people, you know, plugging their wares.
Yes.
But it's a plethora.
A plethora, and then like little sort of filmed inserts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a magazine show. Topical. It's a daily magazine show.
It's like picking up a magazine, but you know, not reading it.
Yeah, but a magazine show is a term. So that's why I'm using it. You don't need to describe why. Huh? It's a term. A magazine show is a term for a television show. You don't need to then say it's like picking up a magazine but not reading it.
But it's confusing because there are magazines that are about TV.
Yeah, there's magazines that you put in guns as well, but everyone knows from the context what I'm talking about.
I didn't know that.
What?
Now I'm just going to think about that now.
Stop thinking about it.
Okay. Also, listen, we love Alex Jones and we love the magazine show that is The One Show. But if Alex Jones says a secret ingredient, an ingredient which we deem to be unacceptable, we will have to kick her out of the Dream Restaurant.
Yes.
Those are the rules.
Yeah.
And this week... the secret ingredient is wontons.
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 One show tons.
Wontons.
Just going to say, tons. I've had a few people come up to me recently and say we've really run out of steam with this secret ingredient thing.
Yeah, I think that's made it better.
Yes.
I think that it was probably an unnecessary format point for us to put in there originally.
Yeah.
I think it really paid off. When we eventually did kick someone out the Dream Restaurant.
Yes.
I think it will pay off again whenever someone does it again.
If Alex Jones picks one ton.
Yeah, so if that happens, people will love it when it happens every time. But until then, it is now like really hard to think of the secret ingredient.
Yeah.
And I enjoy it more how bad it is.
Well,
and that it's one tons because she presents the one show.
Yeah.
And we, it's a one, sounds like one.
Let me tell you, the lady who runs the barbershop that we go to does not agree.
Yes. Yes.
She had such a go at me about lighter fluid.
Oh, she might have brought that up to me, actually.
Yeah.
I was in there just last week.
Emma does not like the lighter fluid secret ingredient.
Well, she thought that because they're not going to pick it.
Yeah.
So of course they're not going to pick
it.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, but imagine if they do, it's even more exciting then.
Yeah, and also sometimes it relates to the person's work, right? So it's Richard E. Grant.
He drank lighter fluid in a film. Maybe he did get into it as a result, you know, you don't know.
But still, great haircuts in there. So you'll take a bit of being harangued.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm wearing a cap today, but that don't let that reflect.
No. James has had his hair cut like a monk.
Yeah, yeah, yes. I asked for the monk cut every time I go in. Give me the monk, please.
But hopefully Alex will not be saying one tons.
Hopefully not. But, you know, a bit of fun if she does get to kick someone out again.
Yes. So this is the off-menu of Alex Jones. Welcome, Alex, to the Dream Restaurant.
I am so pleased to be here. And also, yeah, mind blown.
Welcome, Alex Jones, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Here we are.
Well, I can't believe I'm here because I love this restaurant. In fact, it's the first restaurant I've been to, I think, since the pandemic, to be honest.
That's exciting.
This is great. We don't need outdoor seating or anything. We're back in normal restaurant setup.
It's good.
No QR code in the Dream Restaurant.
I mean, I hate talking about the pandemic, but, you know, sort of, social life stopped, and then I forgot to go to a restaurant after that.
You didn't do Eat Out to Help Out. Do you remember that? Do you remember Eat Out to Help Out?
What was that now?
Rishi Sunak. Back then, just, he wasn't Prime Minister then. This is early days. This is like a deep cut.
He was the...
I remember when you had the money off.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, we did that. We did a bit of that.
He was the Minister for Wagamamas back then.
Yeah, he was like, you all need to, come on, guys. You all need to get out there and get in the restaurants again. But like, you know, at the time, we were a bit unsure as to whether it was too early or not.
Yeah.
It was.
It was. It turned out.
Yeah, it was too early to tell people to all go to the restaurants.
But no, I'm really pleased to be here.
That's interesting.
I listen a lot to this podcast. I'm a big fan of this restaurant.
Well, and we're a big fan of you.
I didn't think I'd be get on the guest list, to be honest.
Come off it.
Come on.
What are you, high as a kite?
I wish.
You're on our TV screens probably more than anyone else, right? Right?
Probably, right? Probably, right. Probably. I mean, it is a 5-day a week jobby, isn't it? Yeah, I am. But I just, you know, you've got all these people who really know stuff about food. And I was like, I like food, but God, I don't know.
Yeah, but come on.
I thought you had to be a proper foodie to be on this.
When you're hosting the one show and you've got everyone on there plugging their wares, are you always sat there going, they are definitely qualified for... surely you're looking at some of your guests going...
Well, I mean, between us, 80% of the time, I'm like...
It is incredible though, because when I came on the one show, you can have a chat with you, a completely normal chat, and then you'll sort of go, all right, and then literally just turn to the camera and then be live to millions of people.
Yeah.
It's that quick.
It's like anything, isn't it? You get used to it, I suppose.
I wouldn't get used to that, I don't think.
But it's like, you know, it's such a, it feels like we're just in somebody's, well, in our lounge, so it doesn't feel like it's a stressful situation.
And then, I did feel like I was just in a lounge with Alex Jones, Ronan Keating and Martin Freeman on the screen.
Yes. When I was on it, Jermaine, yourself, Ainsley Harriet and Grace Dent.
There you go. That's a good sofa.
During the first week, was it stressful though? When you were just getting used to it, was it like, this is insane that I've got to just... Because also, it's over in the blink of an eye. I couldn't believe how quickly it was like... Oh, and now the show's... So you just have to blast through it. You've got so many points to hit.
Yeah.
One story to the next.
I'm going to give you an insight into the first show I ever did.
Yeah.
Okay, picture the scene. 2010. Pretty nervous because there was this big build-up to it. Mm. And our guest was, dun, 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 Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, my goodness.
Holy moly.
So, you know, start big.
Yeah.
And that was fine. And she was in Sister Act and I'd seen Sister Act, so we could chat away. And she was absolutely lovely. Everything you want Whoopi Goldberg to be. Even nicer than she is in Ghost. Yeah. Right?
Oh, wow.
And she's lovely in Ghost.
Yeah.
But we had a film And we call them films. Sometimes people look at me like we've got two heads because they're like, that's not a film. That's not a movie. And I'm like, no, you know, but it's a VT, right?
Yeah.
And we had a VT on beavers. This is day one.
Yeah.
And so I repeatedly had to say the word beavers,
yes,
which Whoopi Goldberg thought was absolutely hysterical,
yeah,
and could not control herself. And I was like, oh my God, be professional. I was thinking about all the sad things. I was pinching my wrist really hard, thinking of dead cat. Okay, really sad things. Maybe I'll die of cancer. Maybe all of this. I go through the gamut of sad things to stop myself laughing because I thought, this is my first show. I can't mess it up because Whoopi Goldberg finds the word beavers funny. Anyway, we got through it. As you said, it's super quick.
Yeah.
And we did get to the end unscathed. 12 years later, I'm still there. So it was on.
Wow. Has Whoopi been back on?
Yeah. And we always talk about that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
She still remembers.
She
that
always,
nice.
She came in and she went, how's your beaver? I was like, brilliant. Fine, how's yours?
Brilliant. That's nice having an in-joke with Whoopi Goldberg.
I know. Cool, eh?
Because you that's do have to cool. keep that sort of level of control because it is so quick. Like, you can't be, like, pissing yourself laughing with the guests because you've got to get on to the next thing.
But, you know, like any live situation, I mean, you just can't help laughing sometimes. Mm. And I'm one of those that laugh at the wrong time a lot of the time, you know.
Yeah.
Funerals. You know, sad settings. You know, but sometimes just something will tickle you and it happens a lot on the sofa.
Especially with the one show is famous for its quick changes of tone as well.
Yes.
I'm thinking of the Mel Brooks clip, which I think is the funniest thing that's ever happened on TV.
Oh, we loved Mel Brooks.
So funny.
This is nuts. This show is nuts.
I know. Mel Brooks didn't hold back. He said as it is, and we loved him for it. We were like, Mel, you're 100% spot on.
But you're there going, all right, guys, you have to calm down now because we do have to go to this quite sad this quite sad film.
I think it's changed a bit. It was quite, we call it a gear change. Oh, my God. I feel like Alan Partridge just saying the words. We call it a gear change, and it's when, you know, you change topics. And we had a lot of them back in the early days. Those corners have been smoothed somewhat.
Yeah. We've talked before on the podcast about our favourite one show moments. I can't remember who we were chatting to, but it came up.
Did it?
We mentioned the Mel Brooks thing. We mentioned Adrian Charles calling Judi Dench Jame Doody.
Oh, I always say Jame Judi Dench because if you say, right, so everybody now, right, let's try it. Dame Judi Dench.
Dame Judi Dench.
Okay, but now, imagine you're under a lot of pressure, you're nervous, you're reading an autocue, go.
Dame Judi Dench.
Jame Judi Dench.
Yeah.
See?
Dame Judi Dench. Yeah.
Jame Judi Dench. But Jame Judi Dench knows this is the case and doesn't expect any better these days.
Yeah.
No. So it's fine.
He did apologise for it. He said, sorry that I called you Jame Doody earlier.
I know. I called Brian Ferry. Do you know Brian Ferry?
Yeah.
So I said, please welcome Fryan Berry.
Fryan Berry.
It's just you can't control what comes out when you're live sometimes. And I think that's why I love the show because it's so warm. Nobody really minds. It's like, fine.
Yeah.
Just get on with it. On to the next thing.
What about when, and we don't have to put this in the pod if you don't want to, but I might never get the opportunity to ask you about it. When Matt Baker absolutely went for David Cameron and said, how do you sleep?
Well, see, okay. So nobody's really asked me about that before.
Yeah.
And I genuinely think, knowing Matt really well, that he didn't mean it to be a question about, you know, I don't think he meant it, how do you sleep? Because, you know, you've got all this terrible stuff going on in your mind. I think he meant, because you're so busy, just how do you sleep? You're running a country. How do you sleep?
Do you reckon?
And I think Matt ran with it because it was a bit cooler, the other version. Yeah, and I think he ran with it. But who knows what was in his brain at that time?
Who knows?
But they got T-shirts printed at work with that question on the back.
Oh, great.
I absolutely loved it.
How do you sleep at night? And then what about when the Cookie Monster wore a poppy?
Well, I didn't even know how they were going to pin it on, to be fair, without hurting him. Because, you know, I mean, that's not an outfit he's wearing. That's his body.
Yeah, that's his body. Yeah, I hadn't even thought
that's
about that.
That's his body. They were actually stabbing the Cookie Monster through his blue fur.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Poor all guy, sorts of questions. Respectful.
But that's how much he loves.
Yeah, he respects.
That's how much he loves the one show. He was like, I'm going to take this stab through my body.
Yeah, we'll do it.
To put a poppy on. Not to upset
we can
Britain.
Shout when it happens. It's cookies. Do you like cookies? We're getting on to food. You came in eating a cinnamon bun today, if you don't mind me sharing that with everyone.
That's absolutely fine. And I did offer you some, but I've mauled it, so it doesn't look very appealing now. Cookies, I think, this is controversial. I think cookies are overrated.
Interesting.
Mm. That is a big swing, actually.
Why? Before
sometimes they taste too doughy.
So you saying that you don't like the soft ones when people make them really soft?
Not really.
No. But what about a chewy one?
Well, if you're going to go down that route of having a biscuit, I think there are better options.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'd say.
Top three biscuits?
Okay. Controversially, I'd go for a good dunk, digestive.
Yeah.
Because
it's solid.
Is that number one?
I think it is number one.
Really?
Wow.
Okay, but I also like rich tea, which is the opposite and flaky. I don't like custard creams. We'll probably get onto custard later.
Okay.
Ugh, everybody loves them. I hate them.
Oh, yeah.
But the other biscuit I like would probably be, I like a hobnob. Wow. Again, for the robustness.
This is mad, Alex. But actually, I'm very glad we asked top three, because that is very revealing.
Okay. Digestive, rich tea, hobnob.
Yeah.
Some people are going to be absolutely frothing at the mouth.
Yeah. Why?
That's a very plain list, I'd say.
Well, okay, we'll add shortbread in.
Just as plain.
I mean, it just got plain. Are you joking?
No, but again, you've got to think of the dunk.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, if you're eating a biscuit on its own, but who does that? Where's the joy?
I'm rarely dunking, I would say.
Yeah. This is like...
Sorry?
I'm rarely dunking. You are.
How?
I can't remember the last time I dunked.
But the whole point of a biscuit is as an accompaniment to a cup of tea.
No way.
Absolutely.
No, I mean, we're living in a Peter Kay routine here. But I don't think so. And that's nice, though. I think it's very wholesome.
I think you'll find if you went to like a biscuit factory, and there are many in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know why I said the Northeast. There are many all over Britain.
Yeah, just in the Northeast.
But I think they will tell you that with a cup of tea, a biscuit comes into its own. So if it's not a dunker, what is it?
Go to a biscuit factory and ask them that.
Yeah.
Because the biscuit factory is directly above the tea factory.
Yeah. Feels like they're biased, doesn't it?
No, but I think they're in cahoots.
Yeah.
They're definitely in cahoots.
Yeah.
In cahoots. They're phoning each other. That's very interesting.
Mm.
I think that's good. I mean, that's good to know.
Robustness is at the top of your list for qualities you like in a biscuit.
To be dunkable.
I like a biscuit and a tea and eating them together, but I don't want the biscuit in the tea because that leads to a whole horrible situation where you then have to throw the tea.
Yeah.
So you haven't had anything. You've only had half a biscuit and half the tea.
All I can think about is that I haven't thought about this Peter Kay routine for years.
What Peter Kay routine are you talking about?
It's a classic from his classic show that
he's got a biscuit routine.
About dunking biscuits. And he says rich tea, they just break off. And he says when biscuit breaks and it goes in slow motion.
Yeah.
And he does the whole act out of,
my biscuit falling in me, bro.
Yeah, that is a classic.
It's very good.
But if you're doing a rich tea, you've got to be in there quick. You've got to act quickly.
Yeah.
Would you ever stack rich tea, rich tea dunks at the same
time?
Well, look, you're the one talking about robustness.
This is
science.
Is important to you.
One at a time.
One dunk and then in, right?
Yeah.
You're not dunking. Yeah.
But with a digestive, you can take a breath.
Yeah.
With a hobnob, you can take a breath.
Yeah.
With a rich tea, you've got to go quick.
Okay, here's a question then about dunking. We really should get onto your menu, but I do have to drill into this. I can handle the digestive dunking thing. Yep, take a breath. One dunk for the rich tea. Hobnob, I would say if you take a breath there, it's going to start flaking.
It's got maybe
a chalky chip falls in.
The psoriasis of the biscuit world, I would say hobnob.
And that's
gonna,
put me off.
It is going to flake.
Wow. Now I don't like hobnobs anymore. The psoriasis of the biscuit world.
Yeah, I'd say, it's not holding it. Yeah, if you don't want biscuit.
James can tell you what has the most psoriasis in any of the cuisines.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I want to know because you've just put me off biscuits for a start.
Croissant?
Of course it's the croissant. It's the normal croissant.
Yeah. We should get onto your menu proper. Otherwise, we're just going to talk about biscuits for ages,
We will check whether you could dunk any of your choices, though.
Yeah.
Everything we'll be doing the dunk test on.
We'll be doing a dunk test.
Okay, I think some of them would get messy, but go on.
We'll see. Still a sparkling water.
Oh, well. You see, I'd go still. controversially, because if I'm in a restaurant, I don't want water at all.
At all.
If I'm out, I want a proper drink. Yeah. And water's just there to be polite. And with fizzy water, I used to think Perrier water, and there are other brands available that do fizzy, but I used to think they were the absolute devil when I was growing up.
Yeah.
It's just such a funny taste.
Yeah.
If you
yeah.
really taste it, because what you're expecting is lemonade, and it's not.
Oh, so you were tricked early on by fizzy water.
I mean, these days, I like it.
Yeah.
And when I was pregnant, and you can't drink, and you're pregnant for a long time because I have three children, I drank a lot of sparkly water, which apparently is bad for your teeth.
Yep. The enamel.
But, you know, it gives you a sense of celebration if you're in a restaurant and you can't have anything more exciting.
It's fine to drink fizzy water when you're pregnant though, right?
You don't
have fizzy kids.
No, you don't have fizzy kids. Well, maybe we did actually, thinking about it. Maybe that's what's happened.
Think about the kids. How fizzy are they?
The kids?
Yeah.
Oh, the middle one is flipping heck, off the charts fizz.
Yeah.
Very fizzy. He's like a bottle of champagne that's been in the fridge upside down and then you open it. That's what he's like. Yeah.
Okay. You don't know, do you? You don't know how fizzy the kid's going to be until it's
you don't. Late. You don't. That's but I think me. it's a thing. You know, fizzy water, I think it's like olives. Nobody likes fizzy water or olives as a child.
Yes.
Apart from my children who do like olives. And that's because they've grown up in London.
I loved olives as a child.
I did. Where did you grow up?
London.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See? There you go.
Yeah, Buckingham Palace.
Buckingham Palace.
Yeah. Posh little boy.
Yeah.
I think most people don't like olives or oysters or fizzy water when they're little. Yeah. It's something, as an adult, you think, I've grown up, now I have to like those items.
Yeah, you don't know how long you're going to be around for, but you're going to get pretty bored if you just like the same stuff forever. So yeah. I'm very glad. I think if you're a little kid and you like olives, I think, bad luck. So you don't get to discover them when you're older.
No.
That's fine.
And where is there to go?
Yeah, where is there to go? What are they going to do? Start getting into Munch Bunch when they're 30?
Exactly. Well, I did do it the other way around.
Oh, yeah.
So I hated the kids' menu and like chicken nuggets and stuff. And would prefer to have like olives and poached salmon.
And the picker's basket.
And then when I got older, I started to appreciate chicken nuggets and oven chips and stuff.
So where are you now?
But big old mix. I'll eat all of it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chicken Jamboree. Nuggets with olives on
chicken
the side.
Chicken nuggets, sparkling water.
Okay.
Few olives sprinkled on top.
Remind some chicken nuggets and olives maybe. That'd be fun.
Quite nice. My
fun
kids
evening.
Would love that.
Yeah, yeah.
Ideal. But yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, water's there to quench your thirst. If I'm out, I don't want water.
So we have let people on the podcast before do a bit of a hack on this at this stage. And if you don't want water and you want to choose something else to have when you get in, I mean, we both hacked it when we did our menus.
Yeah.
Gin and tonic.
You'd like a gin and tonic. You can make the joke that it is a water.
It's more or less the same.
Yeah.
Got tonic water in there.
Yeah. And I mean, you only really need water in a restaurant if you're choking. Because otherwise, you're there to have a nice time.
Yeah.
And everybody says, yeah, we'll just have some still. Nobody means that. Nobody wants the water.
Yeah.
If you're choking, gin and tonic would help anyway, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Sure.
You can use that instead, yeah.
It's a good way of getting more gin and tonic off them.
Completely.
Do you have a specific gin that you like or a specific tonic?
Well, I like to try a lot of different ones, but I tell you, there is a lovely one. I think it's made in Swansea. And I'm not just saying that because I'm born there. It's called Signet Gin. That's very nice. Very botanical.
Nice.
Very
Signet,
nice.
Of course, is swan related.
Yes.
Exactly. Do you see?
Just letting you know that that didn't
it's
go
It's a baby swan, isn't it?
Is it?
Oh, baby swan.
That's mad.
Why?
Why?
I'm naming booze after a little baby.
Yeah, but they don't expect baby swans to drink it.
I don't know.
It's just a very nice name.
I think
name.
You're putting ideas in people's heads.
I'd hate to. I mean, swans are annoying enough anyway, right? Imagine a pissed swan.
That would be very leery.
Well.
How do you feel about swans coming from Swansea?
Oof, I like the look of them at a distance, but close up, I think they could take your arm off.
Mm.
But you're not allowed to touch them, are you? Because the Queen owns all the swans.
Not anymore. Dead.
She passed them on.
Oh, yeah. Does the King now own them?
I think,
what's happened?
What? I don't know if
what's
he owns
happened
them.
To the
he
swans?
Must do now, right? He
do you think
must
she had to put it in the will?
Yeah. I leave all the swans to Charles.
Yeah. I think he does now own all the swans.
Maybe automatically he becomes the swan owner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The swan dad.
I mean, obviously you've got a lot to take on board when you suddenly become the king. But I hope he's taken a moment
to think of
to
the
go,
swans.
I own all the swans now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's got to feel... Yeah.
Maybe at the coronation, I think he'll probably take that in because there'll be a lot of standing around. He'll probably be like, okay, now.
You can finally touch a swan.
Yeah.
I'm the swan daddy.
All these years, if he wants to touch a swan, he's got to phone his mum and ask permission. And now he can just walk
now
up
he can
and go,
stroke
whoop.
Them.
Yeah, yeah, he could just do it. But do the swans know that the torch has been passed? Because they might still try and deck
yeah,
him.
Yeah, they will have told yeah. them. Main swan, head swan, would have spoken to the other swans and yeah. said, Charles is now in charge.
That's a good voice. So that means, like, I mean, how do the people of Swansea feel about the royal family owning the swans?
I haven't asked them directly, but I assume fine. You know, I mean, King Charles, conservationist.
Yeah.
He's in love with animals, so it can only be a good thing.
Former Prince of Wales, of course.
Exactly.
So do you feel like you got your boy in
now? He's on board. Yeah.
Your guy's on the throne.
Yeah.
Secretly.
Got the Welshie in.
Yeah.
In charge.
Yeah. The Welshie. So lovely gin and tonic.
Lovely gin and tonic.
As soon as you get in, so maybe we're waiting for you at the door with a gin and tonic on a tray so yeah. you can just grab
with
it
ice,
as soon as you get in, yeah?
Obviously. I don't like ice in any other drink.
Ah.
Apart from a gin and tonic.
How come for a gin and tonic you like it then?
Because I think otherwise it's a bit too tonic-y.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It takes the edge off the ice. Imagine a gin and tonic without any ice. Oh,
yeah, that, I've had like warm gin and tonic before.
Wow, that would be...
At parties when there's like nothing left.
I mean,
really.
Obviously first world problems. I was going to say that's absolutely horrific. It's not absolutely horrific, but it's not ideal.
Oh, look, no. First world problem is very much covers all of our episodes of the podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're fine.
So, yeah. That's trigger warning, first world problems.
Yeah, we're doing a podcast about what food people like. Yeah.
We talk about what foods we don't enjoy and don't want to eat, thank
yeah.
you.
And a slice of orange, if you've got one.
Wow. Oh, I was about to ask lemon or lime. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, no. Lemon or lime, okay at a push. Mm-hmm. But blood orange, a slice
oh,
of.
Yeah.
Delicious. And tons of ice.
Actually, that was the last gin and tonic I had at my friend Joe's house. He makes the best gin and tonics in the world. I'll okay. give you his number after this.
Lovely.
And he made me, yeah, it had a slice of orange in it and some pepper in it as well.
Yeah.
He put some black pepper in there. It's very good.
And thirst quenching. You don't need water.
Sure. Don't need it.
Single or double?
Oh, single. Let's not go mad.
Okay.
Because make room for the wine.
Ah, right. Okay, yeah, good. Yeah. Little insight into what we can expect.
Pop knobs or bread? Pop knobs or bread, Alex Jones? Pop knobs or bread?
I can't even believe it's a question. I mean, poppadoms, right?
Yes.
Fine. Mm-hmm. They've got their place. With all the dips, order loads of them. Love it. But bread, if you ask me, starter, main, dessert, I could go bread for all three.
Wow. Great.
Because I think there's nothing nicer in the world than fresh bread with salty butter.
Mm.
What's not to love? I could live on that forever and ever and ever. And I don't like fancy bread. You can keep your ciabatta. Yeah. You can keep your focaccia. Focaccia can...
Yeah.
And all of it. I just love fresh bread, you know, plain.
When you're talking plain, are we talking just like a loaf of Hovis?
No. I don't want sliced.
No.
Fresh out the oven.
Fresh out the oven.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, Hovis?
Hey, sliced? I'm just trying to drill down.
How boring. No.
Well, Alex said fresh
bread. That's for sandwiches.
Oh, sorry,
that's for
yeah,
sandwiches.
Fresh bread, sorry.
Is Hovis fresh?
Fresh out the packet.
No, fresh out of the oven.
Fresh out the freezer.
Yeah.
Hot. I mean, can you stop? No. Can anybody stop eating bread when it's like that? No.
No.
They can't. Bread, cheese, red wine, done.
Yeah.
Every course.
But yeah, putting like butter straight on some bread out of the oven, just watching it absorb this instantly.
Or, you know, if you're little and you're in France on holiday and your job is to go and get the baguette and it's hot.
One of my favourite things on the podcast is when people try and pitch things as universal experiences. You know, when everyone's young and it's their job to go and get the baguette in France when they're young.
I mean, even like when you're little and you're on France on holiday, even that is like...
You're narrowing down.
I know there's going to be listeners going, no, I don't know what that's like. And it's your job to get the baguette. Alex, it's your job today to get the baguette.
It feels like a lot of people used to do that. But, you know, okay, picture the scene then.
Yes.
I mean, you're in, let's go... I don't know, not Normandy, because it's not very sunny there. Let's go lower, Loire.
Hang on, so where are we going?
Hold on, is that a place?
France.
Oh, so you said let's go lower, Loire.
Loire is a region in France.
Is it? Okay.
That was okay, anyway.
That is the first time on the podcast I've been genuinely confused.
Right, let's go to flipping Paris, right? Everybody knows Paris.
I like Loire.
Okay, and we've gone to patisserie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, that's cakes, though. What's bread? Ed, you know.
Boulangerie.
Boulangerie. Let's all go to the boulangerie.
Why, Ed, you know? Why did I even get considered for that?
Sorry.
Yeah, he knew. I
did
know.
You?
No.
No, fine. So I picked the right one. Yeah. So we're all off to the boulangerie, right? Yeah. And we're going to get the baguette and we're going to take the baguette on a picnic and it's fresh out of the oven and the smell is so delicious. Mm. And the first thing you do, you, that looked rude, you move the packet down the baguette.
Yeah.
And you... You chomp off the top.
Absolutely
it's
right.
Absolutely delicious.
See, I was going to ask you, when you said it's your job to go and get the baguette, I was going to ask you if you do that, because Ed has spoken on the podcast before about when his partner, now wife,
yes,
used to live in Paris.
Ah.
And sometimes it would be Ed's job to get the baguette.
It would be my job to get the baguette.
And would you anch the top off?
Even though she lived in a little flat on a courtyard. And the boulangerie was, you just had to go down some stairs, out, turn left, à gauche, and then into the boulangerie. And it's 1 minute's walk away. Baguette, even on that short walk, gone.
100%.
Yeah.
There is no way you can go to the boulangerie, get a baguette, and not anch the top off.
Yeah.
It's
delicious.
I'm very glad that you said it independent, because I think we've been asked, we've had a few people say about warm baguettes, and I always ask them that question because Ed says he couldn't resist doing it. I always ask them if they could resist it. I'm glad it's just come up organically.
Yeah.
Didn't even need to ask the question. That's how irresistible it is.
It's irresistible. People talk about things like pretzels. Shut up.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, right? I've never bought a pretzel because they don't appeal to me. They are dark brown and slightly salty, which is okay when you have that bite where it's got the salt on it.
Sure.
Delicious momentarily.
Yeah.
But that is not bread.
Yeah. It's too
not
shiny
a cracker,
as well.
It's not a biscuit. It's not bread. What is it?
Yeah.
Waste of time.
Yep. Waste of time.
I do agree with you. I think pretzels.
However, in a shopping centre, there's a lot of big shopping centres of this brand in London, Westfield, and you can get sweet pretzels. Now, they, off the charts.
Yes, sure.
Off the charts, Auntie Anne's. Delicious.
Sweet's always better.
Auntie Anne's pretzels.
But pretzels, I've heard people talk about pretzels on this podcast. I can't get on with that at all.
No.
It's not a thing.
I don't know if anyone's ever chose pretzel proper, have they? Maybe.
And I don't mean the crisp ones, because we don't want people to get confused here. Not the crisps, not the little ones you get in a bag. The big ones you buy at the bakery counter.
Yeah.
I've definitely bought a pretzel before and just instantly gone, nah.
Yeah,
can't be bothered with that. No. I did one once at Herman's the German.
What were you even doing in there?
It was his job to go and get the pretzel.
I thought you were a foodie. What are you doing in Herman the German?
The sausages were good.
Let's go there for quite a bit because Brett Goldstein, he's won awards.
Yeah.
He used to love going in there and getting a box of just like cut up sausage with all the sauerkraut and stuff. So I copied him and would do that. And that was, I loved doing that after a gig. It'd be a quick bite to get after a gig.
Yeah.
If I was gigging in Soho, Leicester Square, wherever, go down to Herman's the German, all cut up, crispy onions on there too. Delicious.
Very delicious.
I was like, I'm going to get something else, I'm going to get that pretzel. And
mistake.
That was it was like a job.
Let me tell you about pretzels. They've got those yellow stickers on them at the end of the day. Every day, because nobody wants them.
Yeah, yeah, they're trying to flog them.
The only time I've ever enjoyed a pretzel, and bear with me,
yes,
it was at Disneyland.
Yeah, okay.
It was a pretzel, but it was filled with fake cheese and jalapeno, and it was delicious because it was so salty.
With a fake cheese and what?
Jalapeno.
Jalapeno.
You say it differently to anybody I've ever heard saying that word.
You've obviously never heard a Spanish man say it, because that is the correct pronunciation.
You are not Spanish.
No, but I say croissant and I say jalapeno.
Jalapeno?
Yeah.
It's not jalapeno, is it? Is it?
I would say.
Go on, James, you say
I
it.
I guess I say
jalapeno, I'd say.
Jalapeno.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't go jalapeno, but I'd go jalapeno.
Jalapeno. I'm perfectly willing to admit that I'm wrong.
Wow.
As far as
I know, on the N, there is the little squiggly accent, which is near.
How do you say piñata?
Piñata.
Oh.
Because of your kind of explanation, I'm going to believe you.
Yeah.
And because you are who you are, I think you're probably right. But I just haven't heard anybody say it like that before.
Well, I might be wrong. I frequently get messages saying I've absolutely messed up a pronunciation.
Welcome to my world. My whole life is to copying what Ed does until someone else tells me it's wrong.
Yeah, but would you go into a takeaway place or a restaurant and say that? Would you say, I want some jalapeno on my pizza?
Jalapeno.
Jalapeno, sorry, jalapeno.
Yeah.
I've got a slight problem with sometimes when we're out with friends, And there are a few friends who I won't name, but they go deep with an accent when we're ordering off a menu that, say, is Spanish. And I just feel so super awkward.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, we don't need to, like, go, you know, we don't need to go
Is Matt Baker one of those people? Matt Belangerie?
Matt Belangerie. I've never been to a, I've never been really in that situation with Matt. I don't imagine he would be. But some people have got real confidence, haven't they? And they go into a Spanish restaurant and they basically become Antonio Banderas. I mean, is he even Spanish?
Yes.
I think he might be.
Yeah. I think he is.
Puss in Boots is.
More or less.
Puss in Boots.
And they go all that. Anyway.
I don't do that.
We digress.
I find that embarrassing. But, I mean, I feel very exposed after saying jalapeno, to be honest.
Jalapeno. Sorry, I didn't
mean to. That's how I'm going
to
start saying it, though.
No, I loved it.
I didn't mean to make you feel awkward.
Your dream starter.
Okay, you are going to look at me now as if,
oh yeah.
I mean, couldn't she bring something better than that? But I've gone through this in my head over and over and over, and I have to stay true to prawn cocktail.
Hey,
it's a big hitter.
It's a big hitter on the pod. A lot of people chose prawn cocktail. I'd say you are, if I may say this, the youngest person to choose prawn cocktail.
Gosh.
Normally it's people who grew up in a certain decade. And okay. I would say you are the youngest person to choose a prawn cocktail.
Well, prawn cocktail's cool now, right?
It's cool now.
It is. And I was a latecomer to prawn cocktail. Again, it was in the sparkly water olive category where prawns and me were not friends. Because if you bite into a prawn, don't ever do that.
What?
Don't ever bite into a prawn. I can't even say. Don't ever bite into a prawn.
No?
Don't ever bite into a prawn?
Are you swallowing them whole?
How are you going to eat this 100%. Starter?
What?
100%.
How big are the prawns?
King size.
King size prawns? You're gulping them down like a pelican.
100%. It's the same thing as there's a rule, isn't there?
Yeah.
Unspoken, but nobody ever bites into scampi.
What?
Never bite into scampi and look.
Don't look at it.
If you're going to order scampi and chips, and let me tell you, I've done that millions of times because I love scampi.
Yeah.
But in a pub situation, you're there, it's summer. Scampi peas and chips in a basket back in the 80s. But never bite into the scampi because you never know what you're going to see. And that's going to ruin your meal.
What might you see?
Yeah.
Well, the inside of scampi is not great.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever bitten into a scampi and looked?
I don't think I have, to be honest.
I definitely don't gulp these things down whole. I'm trying to think if I have bitten into the scampi and then looked at the other half. I mean, I think I have, and in my head it's quite succulent and juicy, like a deep-fried scampi.
Okay, well, you just try that again and then come back to me.
Okay,
the rule with scampi, always swallow whole. And I think
whole.
You're not even 100%. Biting it when it's in your mouth.
Dip it into your tartar or into your tartar, not the thing that's on your teeth, as in tartar sauce, and or your ketchup, whatever, and down it goes. And with prawns, it's the same thing.
With a king size prawn, you would swallow that whole.
Well, take the bits off you don't want, and it goes.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I mean, you're not even why don't you bite it in your mouth?
Yeah,
so you can.
But why don't you?
I can. I do.
Oh,
I do.
Do.
I do.
Oh,
I don't.
You do.
I don't go. Ooh.
Because you know, for the last 5 minutes, everyone's been imagining you just swallowing those prawns whole.
No, that'd be silly. Then I'd be choking, so the gin and tonic would have to be replaced by water
immediately. Oh, so you're biting them in your mouth, you're chewing them up, and then you're swallowing them. You're not just like. Yeah.
I mean, I think prawn cocktail is under-celebrated. It's having a moment now, isn't it? It's having a cooler moment, but it's. I mean, it's delicious, crispy. Iceberg lettuce, proper 70s.
Yeah.
Triangle bread, toast.
Nice.
Paprika on top.
Getting a bit more bread in there.
Paprika.
It's the only thing I make all year.
Is it?
Make that at home.
It's our starter on Christmas Day.
Great. Lovely. Yeah.
Along with mackerel pate, which is a bit weird to have both, but anyway.
Yeah, they're both quite, I think they, especially in the UK, they're quite Christmas starters.
I might move on when my palate develops. I might move on to oysters, but I'm not there yet.
I mean, if you're not even looking at scampi when you bite it,
ugh.
Good luck looking at an oyster
before you put it in.
Yeah, I have had one, and oh God, takes me back now.
Yeah.
Got stuck at it.
Got stuck.
Halfway.
Sorry? Oh, halfway down your throat or in, down your body.
Yeah, it's, oh my God, and all I could think, I mean, I'm not even going to go over there. But I really, because, you know, we were filming, right, and we were in France again, and there was a man, like a fisherman, and he was, but he was also like a TV chef in France, and he was making this beautiful kind of vinaigrette thing to go on top of it, and it looks so lovely, like all these lovely shallots, da-da-da. And I thought, that looks, how bad can it be with that on top of it?
Yeah, yeah.
God, it was awful.
So this was fresh.
Massive ones. They, I think they called, I don't know, but they giant oysters.
And they just caught them in front
fresh.
Of you.
Wow.
Fresh, just caught them. Wow. Here we go. Shuck them.
Yeah.
This stuff on top. You know, and there was like Tabasco in there. And I thought, well, you're not even going to taste it. Oh my goodness me. The texture. Ooh. Whoa.
Did you chew that? Did you bite that?
No,
you bite?
I did not.
Straight down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tears in my eyes. All of it, because I couldn't swallow.
And did that come across in the footage?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did the fisherman mind? Did he seem offended?
I was trying to hide it from him.
Yeah.
I did a bad job.
Yeah, you can't hide anything from a fisherman.
No,
but I'm hoping in time, I would like to like, you know, it's that thing, you would like to like them. All my friends like them. My husband loves them. And I'm like, oh, ho, ho, the work of the devil right there.
Absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
And having one that's just been caught and prepared for you by the fisherman who caught it. Wow. That's a privilege.
I think it's the texture, though, isn't it? What can we do about the texture? Nothing.
I guess you could. I mean, sometimes they fry them. They might bread them and fry them.
It's a lot of work, though, isn't it? When you could just have a scampi.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, but yeah, I suppose the same with a deep fried oyster. You're not biting that and having a look inside, are you?
Absolutely not.
You can't ask the fisherman to do that on the boat. Can you deep fry that for me, please? No. He probably hasn't got that knocking around the old fishing boat.
Would you like to be blindfolded for this meal? Because it seems like you don't want to look at a lot of your food.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't mind the prompt cocktail. I mean, it's covered in... How do you even say it? Marie Rose sauce?
Well, Ed knows how to pronounce things.
Go on.
I would say Marie Rose, yeah.
Okay.
I'd say Mary Rose.
Yeah, you say Mary Rose. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's
I said it on air once.
That sounds like
you got grilled for it, got torn to ribbons.
It's not a pub.
Yeah.
Mary Rose.
Yeah, I said Mary Rose sauce.
So is it just
whole podcast
Marie Rose or Mary Rose?
I would say Mary Rose, but again, I can't stress enough, I'm really not the authority on foreign
you
languages.
You are in this room.
But I think none of us really know these things, do we? We just say it very quickly and hope for the best.
Yeah.
In America, with prawn cocktail, they have cocktail sauce. Have you had that before? Which is like...
It's the same, isn't it?
No, it's like a tomato-y based sauce with horseradish in it.
Well, hang on a minute. What do you think Marie Rose sauce is then?
Like a more mayo-based sauce, right?
No.
It's got tomato sauce in
it. Hang on a minute. Not in our house.
Not in your house.
No, it's hang on. It's ketchup and mayonnaise. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
What are you talking about then? Tomatoes.
The American one is more, but it's like more of a sort of, it's almost like a pasta sauce type consistent.
Like a salsa.
And it's all tomato. There's no mayo.
Oh, no.
And there's horseradish in it. And it's a real disappointment when you order a prawn cocktail in America.
Yeah.
Because you want that mayo-y dip.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Have they not been over here and seen that we do it better?
Obviously
and gone,
not. You know what these Americans are like.
Yeah, you know what these Americans are like. They come over, they see what we do. They don't take us seriously. They just try and remake it, do their own versions of The Office.
I thought everybody had the same prawn cocktail all over the world. So
no.
That's another eye-opener. Thanks, Ed.
Thanks, Ed.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class
and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you're up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed. Answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but yes. My wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Your dream main course.
Okay. Oh, right. Hold on tight. And don't judge instantly, okay?
You said this about the prawn cocktail.
And we were on board with the prawn cocktail. But
the prawn cocktail is universal. Mm-hmm. This is not.
Okay.
Okay. Ready?
Yes.
Deep breath. Corned beef pie.
Hey!
Look, that sounds great.
That I want to eat it immediately.
Okay. So I wouldn't want to eat corned beef out of a tin.
Okay.
That would make me feel a bit sick. Again, don't look at it. But corned beef mixed with onions, mixed with potato that then become mashed potato, with a little bit of secret ingredient, ketchup, salt and pepper, mush it together in pastry, in the oven. Oh, my God. It's a dream.
I think you just reminded me of something my mum used to make that I'd completely forgotten about.
Exactly.
And now I'm really excited.
Right.
It's a dream. I do think it's a dream.
My mum used to make this for us, still does on occasions.
Yeah.
Not often enough, mum, if you're listening. But she does make it, and it is like nothing else. Because at the time, you can have it respectably with vegetables and gravy, like a bit like a Sunday roast kind of thing, you know. Day after, with ketchup or beans. I mean, I've taken this podcast now right down to the gutter, haven't I?
This is great.
But it's honestly, let's forget about fancy food a minute. This is comfort food personified.
Oh, it sounds amazing. I love corned beef anyway.
Yeah.
From the tin, whatever.
No, you don't, Ed.
Do I used to have corned beef sandwiches when I was at school?
So
how do you
I.
say corned beef?
Going the beef.
Boeuf.
Boeuf.
Boeuf de la corn.
I used to have corned beef sandwiches, and I
loved
really
it.
Look forward to them. Yeah. They were my favourite sandwiches.
We'd have them in school, corned beef sandwiches. I did not look forward to them because Dad used to put ketchup on them as well, and I didn't like them. I mean, but I can see why people would like them, but it's just the whole tin thing. I don't like anything in a tin apart from tuna.
Interesting.
And beans.
And why?
And tomatoes. Oh, no, I do like things in a tin, actually.
Everything in a tin.
Most things.
But meat in a tin. So, Spam. No. What's the other one that's like a ham and it's got that jelly around it? That's a big
I know
no.
what you mean. Yeah.
It's like luncheon meat or something.
Luncheon meat is the thing, yeah.
Yeah, you don't like those.
Whoa,
any meat in a tin is too reminiscent of dog food, I think, when you tip it out.
Mm. Yeah.
But
I don't mind it.
But let's push past that.
Okay.
Corned beef, get it out of the tin. Quickly mix it with other things in a bowl. And my mum was with me last night, and I was like, Mum, can you just make a corned beef pie? Because I'll take it tomorrow.
Oh.
She's like, well, I'd love to, but I've got your washing to do.
What?
I mean,
your washing?
Like, you don't have to do my washing. I'm perfectly capable. She's like, there's a lot of work that needs to do in this house. I mean, anyway, let's not get into that.
So when your mum visits,
she
proper like goes into mum mode.
Oh, yeah.
And does everything in the
house. Yeah, I'm incapable, apparently, of anything.
You see, on one hand, you're saying, oh, mum thinks I'm incapable, she's doing my washing. But on the other hand, you are saying that you asked her to make a corned beef pie last night.
Yeah, only because this is her recipe.
Yeah.
You see.
Yeah. So you don't think you could make it?
Have you tried?
I haven't tried, no. Mm. I mean, at a push, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just hers has got the je ne sais quoi. I love how I put that with a corned beef pie.
A very French episode.
That is the first time anyone has ever used the phrase je ne sais quoi in relation to a corned beef pie.
Okay. I believe that. Yeah.
The only thing, I mean, I know, I think I've got that wrong. I was about to say, it just reminds me of Home Alone when someone says it, but I don't think she does say, I think she tells Kevin, she goes, you're what the French call les incompetents. She doesn't say je ne sais quoi.
Je ne sais quoi.
There's not a corned beef pie involved either.
If only there was. I bet that would be coming quite handy. If you were defending, this is a question for you, Alex. If you were defending your house against burglars and you had a corned beef pie, would you use it in a trap?
Well, it's that dense, you could throw it at them and it would probably take them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You wouldn't use
it's a big unit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you're having a slice, you know about it. You know, you don't want prawn cocktail really to precede corned beef pie.
Oh, right.
Because you're going to be up to your eyeballs.
In food?
In corned beef pie.
In corned beef pie.
And I'm not sure there's any room for any prawns.
What shape is this corned beef pie?
Well, it's up to you. You can go with what you feel. But square, we usually make.
Nice square.
So you can have big rectangles.
I'm going to text my mum.
Okay, go.
And ask if we had corned beef pie when we were younger, because...
So we used to have a thing called corned beef hash.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was just chopped potatoes, onions, corned beef.
I mean, I don't know. People must still eat it somewhere in the world, but I think it's fallen out of fashion.
Yeah, it's another one of those things where you might see it on a menu somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's like a bit of a trendy thing to put on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's delicious.
We could bring corned beef hash back right now, probably.
Well, I feel like that's more like, again, in America, I'd see corned beef hash on a menu, but then neither of those things are what we know them as here.
Yeah, it's corned beef's not the same.
Yeah, hash isn't the same.
Hang on, what corned beef have they got there, though?
Well, it's just not that sort of compacted corned beef that we have here. It would be like a bit of beef that has been, the way it's been brined is in more like a corny way.
It's like shredded, like it comes out like...
Good explanation,
comes out like shredded.
Well, it's something
salty
to do with the process of the way it's been brined as opposed to... Whatever the fuck corned beef is here, which...
And what's hash then over there?
Well, like, I think over there, actually, maybe hash is quite
the same.
I'm just thinking of hash browns, really, and how hash browns are here. And then hash browns there are like stringy potatoes that have been fried with onions and stuff, but it's not all one block like we've got.
But it's quite odd, isn't it? Because things like corned beef hash, casserole, you know, pies, these were things that you'd have growing up, and of course wholesome food, and those are the things that you dread, weren't they?
Yeah.
Oh no, it's that night we're having corned beef hash, oh no, and I'm going to be dragged away from neighbours to eat this.
Yeah, you know?
But that's the regularity thing, I think, as well.
It's like every
Wednesday what we're having corned beef hash, and then you move away and you realise you can have whatever you like on any night of the week, but then Wednesday rolls around and you're like, I miss that corned beef hash.
Yeah. I know, like Monday was lasagna and salad day.
Oh, great.
For years.
Great.
About 20 years.
Monday was.
Yeah. And, you know, that's not a bad Monday, is it?
Garfield loves lasagna but doesn't like Mondays.
Yeah.
So that'd be crazy for Garfield.
Garfield doesn't know what's going on.
That would be Garfield. We'll come back to that. But that would surely be the way to help Garfield like Mondays.
Perfect for Garfield.
Because he'd look forward to
give him a lasagna on a Monday, turn him around. Anyway.
What do you mean Garfield doesn't know what's going on?
Oh, Garfield, honestly. He used to annoy the shit out of me. I don't know why. Everybody loved Garfield. I was like, what's the big deal? God. So annoying.
Why did he annoy you?
I don't know.
Too negative. He was quite negative, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Very negative. Everything's a problem. God, shut up, Garfield.
Yeah, everything is a problem too. He's not nice to Odie the dog, and that's quite a nice...
You know, I just think you could do with better energy.
Yeah, yeah.
What would you do if you had to interview Garfield on The One Show?
Oh, yeah.
He wouldn't even get past the flipping security door. No. We'd pin a poppy straight into him. No
messing. Take that, Garfield. It's not even Remembrance Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, I think that sounds delicious. Mm. And hopefully my mum will text me and tell me. Because if that is something we used to have when we were kids, I really want it again. Because I know exactly what you're talking about.
I made it for, you can make... So do you know what rissoles are?
Like,
That look of confusion.
So, no, I just don't want to get it wrong.
Yeah.
Like, are they like meatball type things?
No. So rissoles...
Fuck you, Ed.
Rissoles are basically corned beef pie inner, in a sort of breadcrumbed and fried ball.
Uh-huh.
Delicious. So in fish and chip shops in South Wales, rissole and chips is a thing, which is weird because it's double potato, but nobody cares. So it's corned beef, onion, mashed potato in a bowl of breadcrumbs, fried with chips, sometimes gravy on it, sometimes curry sauce. Yum!
Yeah.
And it's that curry sauce that you can only get in fish and chip shops.
Mm.
You know the one?
That sounds so
slightly
good.
Vinegary.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I made these rissoles for Dame Mary Berry.
Wow.
There's a dame whose name you can pronounce.
So, yeah, I can do that one.
You're not saying Berry Mary?
No.
Berry Mary. Love Dame Mary Berry. But she, so I went on a show with her. It was one Christmas ages ago. And she said, okay, you have to cook a dish for this Christmas party that we're going to have at the end. I was like, what? I can't cook. And now I'm cooking for Dame Mary Berry. And I said, all right, then I'll make rissoles. Why? Why? Anyway. And she said, what are you going to make, dear? I said, I'm going to make rissoles, Mary. She said, what are they, dear? And I said, well, they very sort of, you know, it's a Welsh tradition and they make them in South Wales and Mum used to make them. And she said, well, they sound delicious. I mean, Mary's all over kind of World War II food and this falls into that category. Corned beef straight in there. And I made them and honestly, oh, it looked like cat food. Oh, God, I could not get the consistency right. It was just really runny corned beef and potato, but I couldn't get it so that, you know, I could make it into a ball. And I made it. Honestly, it's never looked so bad. Fern Cotton was on the same show. She did something really super duper, I don't know, like butternut squash risotto in a butternut squash.
Hates Fern Cotton.
Yeah. And,
no, I love Fern Cotton.
Clearly hates Fern Cotton.
But she is such a good cook.
Yeah.
And she'd made a lovely dip and she said, Al, what's your dip? And I went, ketchup. Like, I didn't even made a dip. I just poured ketchup into a bowl. Anyway, Mary Berry loved it.
Great. Of course she did.
Absolutely loved it.
She's a good one.
She's lovely.
Yeah, she is.
I wish she was on Bake Off when I got on it. Corned beef loaf.
There you go.
My mum sent me the page of the recipe book.
Wow. That was a quick response.
Oh, she has very little going on.
Oh, my goodness.
Huh?
Your poor mum.
Well, you know.
Go on.
12-ounce can of corned beef, 6-ounce cheddar cheese grated, 9 large slices of thinly sliced white bread, 2 level tablespoons of French mustard, 6 ounces of butter, 2 ounces of freshly made white breadcrumbs, 1 large egg, size 2 in brackets, 1 medium onion peeled and finely chopped, 2 level tablespoons of pickle.
Well, I don't even know what
the method.
No, well,
it sounds like she's making a corned beef sandwich.
But also, what does it look like? Have you got a picture of how it should look like in the end? I can't picture.
No, this recipe book is so old that it just looks like parchment paper. It looks like old, you know, tea-stained parchment paper.
There you go. World War II
there's
food.
No photo. I don't think photos existed when this. I mean, the next recipe in it is ginger beer. How to make your own ginger beer?
It's like the famous Five cookbook.
Probably Enid Blyton's written this shit. And I've said to her, wow, I'd love it again. And then she's gone, what? Why? And asked me if I've recently discovered corned beef.
Yeah.
I was going to say yes, because I don't have time to. Yeah, yeah. I'll tell her later on. And she just listens to the pod anyway.
Yeah,
you
does,
are. Well,
yeah.
She'll know all about it.
Yeah, yeah.
She'll absolutely love that bit where you said she doesn't have anything going on.
Yeah, I'll get a text.
Yeah.
I'll get a text.
Too right, you will.
About that.
Straight away.
Cheeky. Yeah.
As soon as it's released.
Yeah.
Very little going on.
Yeah. So, yeah. As soon as I say it, she'll text me. Bugger all else to do.
This corned beef pie sounds absolutely amazing.
Honestly. Yeah. I mean, it is a bit World War II. Is it, you know, is a bit retro, but taste it.
It also, that and the rissoles really sounds like the sort of thing you'd eat before you go out drinking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Or
proper
after.
Just,
yeah. So in Cardiff, and you'll have listeners I know in Cardiff, and they'll know about Chippy Lane. Chippy Lane, it's not really called Chippy Lane, but it is Chippy Lane because all the sort of late night takeaway places are on it. And the floor is so slippery from chips. Yeah. So when you'd go down there in a heel. Oh.
Wales, man.
You are taking your life into your own hands. Chippy Lane in a heel, 3 a.m. disaster. But, oh, the rewards.
Yeah.
If you make it into the shop,
yeah.
The rewards are like no other. Rissole, chips, curry sauce, tons of vinegar.
Yeah.
Oh, my mouth is watering.
How slippy is it? Could you start at one end of Chippy Lane and slide all the way like Marty McFly down to the other end?
Well, let's just imagine it. Okay, your chips have fallen on the floor.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. A few people have walked over them, so they kind of worn into the concrete. Very slippery.
Yeah.
Very like slippery.
The floor is lava. People say
bananas. It's not. It's chips.
Chips should be in cartoons as people for people slipping on them. Yeah.
Not bananas.
There you go. If you're touring in Cardiff, Chippy Lane, that's where you need to go.
I can walk down Banana Lane and in heels, no problem.
Yeah, yeah. I can run down Banana Lane. I'm fine. Let's do your side dish.
Okay.
Dream side.
Okay.
Is it chips from Chippy Lane or are we looking at something else here?
It could be chips from Chippy Lane. It would always be a potato in some form.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's pretty standard when it comes to side dishes, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But none of this broccoli with chilli. Nice and all that, but not that exciting. I would go, again, I don't know if I'm saying it right, potatoes au gratin.
Oh, yeah.
Au dauphinoise.
Nice.
If you're going to eat that with a corned beef pie, don't get me wrong, cardiac arrest is imminent and you will be carted off to the hospital.
That's a heavy meal.
That's a heavy
meal. I'm on board with it though.
But this is in our dream situation, so we can go there.
Mm.
But I think Dauphinoise potatoes are absolutely delicious.
I mean, they're the best potatoes.
Why are you confused?
When you said cardiac arrest, because you'd just been talking about Cardiff.
Yes.
I thought you'd said cardiac arrest about someone getting arrested in Cardiff. It confused me for a second.
Yeah.
Cardiac.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can't arrest anyone in Cardiff because they slip away from the police so easily.
Oh, that's true, isn't it? They're too slippy. Don't run down Chippy Lane.
Too slippy.
So long, coppers! Slide down there.
Yeah.
These are Ed's favourite potatoes.
Dauphinoise, best potatoes,
so, let me just check this with you, Ed, again. I'm coming to you. No offence.
Yep.
Dauphinoise, are they the same as au gratin?
No.
Oh.
I don't think so.
Since
I don't.
When?
Oh, well, here we go.
Or maybe they are. Okay, maybe they are the same. I might be getting mixed up with another shout out for this word, potatoes boulangère.
Well,
that is not a thing.
It is.
It's not. You just mixed up boulangerie and potatoes. Yeah.
Google
That's
it.
Not a thing. What, bread potatoes?
No, it's I guess it's like baker's potatoes.
Or is that a chip butty?
Oh,
hang on a minute.
Uh oh.
That would have been my side dish.
You'd rather have a chip butty now?
As a side dish.
What about? Well, this is your side, isn't it? We're on your side now. What about if you did Dauphinoise potatoes in a chip butty style?
No.
You wouldn't want that?
Well, it'd be runny. What do you think?
I think that would appeal. I think I would like it if it was like...
I would like it if it was forced on me, of course.
Yeah.
I think au gratin has cheese in it and Dauphinoise doesn't traditionally.
Ooh, interesting. I think Dauphinoise is cream, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's cream.
Cream, garlic.
And basically layers of roundy shaped potatoes. And au gratin has cheese. Are we right? Okay.
Well, we'll call that a score draw, I think.
Normally, I'd try and repeat what Benito said so he doesn't have to put himself on the podcast, but that was too long. I can't memorize it. He's going to have to pitch shift his voice down or something. I can't say it, Benito. I can't. You described it so well the first time. You're going to have to crime watch your voice.
Crime watch.
Yeah. I'm sorry, man.
Dauphinoise. Let's stick with Dauphinoise because Dauphinoise has got cream.
Yeah.
And if we're going full on dream meal, let's go rich.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's
best. Do you want to chuck a chip butty in there as well?
Yeah.
Dauphinoise butty?
Well, in fact, if we go back to bread, we just put some chips in there and then that's the bread.
Yeah, that's fair
chip
enough.
Chip butty.
Perfect. Yeah, that's your new bread course, chip butty.
Oh, my God. This chip meal butty is turning out to be an absolute belter.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is there anywhere you've had Dauphinoise before that's like the best you've ever had?
Gosh. I tell you where I did have some nice Dauphinoise is there's a restaurant in London. And, this sounds really knobby now.
Well, remember, you have already told a story about when you used to get the baguettes when you were a little kid. So I think you're okay.
I think that's relatable. One's less so. There's a button on every table where you press it and they bring champagne.
Bob Rickard.
This has come up before.
I had some delicious Dauphinoise potatoes there.
And how much also, because people have mentioned Bob Rickard before.
I'm going there on Sunday.
It's going on Sunday.
Hang on.
So I know what I'm going to order.
It's not a Sunday type of place.
It's my mother-in-law's birthday. We're taking her for her birthday because she wants to try the champagne button.
Alex has issues with things.
I really thought Alex was on my side there.
I can never predict what you're going to have an issue with or what it is. And the fact that it's not a Sunday type of place, I love it, is it?
It's mainly with me. So there's always be something I say. Jalapeno.
No.
No.
No, I loved that. I just thought, wow, he's exotic.
Yeah. Generous.
Yes, but I'm going on Sunday.
Who goes, hang on a minute.
Yeah, come on.
Who goes into central London to a clearly nighttime restaurant on a Sunday?
I don't think there's such a thing as a nighttime restaurant.
I think there is.
Stringfellows?
Is that where you're going afterwards?
I wouldn't call that a restaurant. Necessarily, yeah. We're taking my mother-in-law to Stringfellows for her birthday.
Oh, God. I mean, Bob Rick had beautiful, lovely surprise.
Yeah, stunning.
Very nice
and
nice treat.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't have ever have considered a Sunday there. Mm.
Well, it's open.
Well,
so I guess they've considered
optimistically.
It.
Yeah. I mean,
you're
Sundays,
be the only ones in there.
I just think of roasts, you know, in a, like a pub.
They do a lovely beef Wellington there, though.
I'm sure they do. Yeah. Oh, beef Wellington. I haven't thought about a beef Wellington in years.
Not too Wellington. Dissimilar to a corned beef pie. Not a million miles away.
Mm.
Not as good. Beef Wellington's a bit one-dimensional.
Really?
Oh, controversial.
You want to go to Ron Gastrobar, mate, in Amsterdam. Have the beef Wellington there. That was my dream main course when I did this.
So the Dauphinoise at Bob Rickard is nice, you say?
Beautiful.
So that's the one we're going to put on your dream menu. And that's the one I'll be getting on Sunday.
And you're going to raise a toast to Alex when you're there?
Yeah, of course.
Well, think of me.
Yeah.
Order a bottle.
I'll say happy birthday and to Alex Jones.
And she'll be like, who? She loves the Dauphinoise here.
Yeah.
She doesn't think it's right for a Sunday.
she hates Garfield.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all right. I think that's all right.
Trivia. Yeah, that's all right. It's not controversial.
No, somebody bought me a Garfield calendar.
It was a joke.
So misguided.
How old were you when they did that?
Oh, quite young. And then... Speaking of calendars, do you know the other one that somebody bought me? And worse.
I've just watched the series, so it's in my head.
Yeah.
Beavis and Butthead? I mean, what?
Was it the same person who bought you those calendars?
No! I was lost for words.
I was not expecting it to be
Beavis. How old were you when you
got
bought the Beavis and Butthead calendar?
Only about, I don't know, 14? Like, I couldn't be anywhere further from Beavis and Butthead, but somehow somebody'd gone into flipping WH Smith or Woolworth or whatever at the time and thought, oh, she's going to love it. I know.
Can you remember any of the, I mean, they're pretty colourful characters, Beavis and Butthead. Can you remember any of the months and what they were doing on them?
I just remember a lot of yellow and turquoise kind of colour and angry faces and no, bin.
With the Garfield calendar, did they take the opportunity to do a little joke with all the Mondays are like, you know, scrubbed out or something? Did they?
Or there was that. There was a cross on all the Mondays.
Yeah, great.
But it's not that funny. There was this, like, I still don't... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the same joke 52 times, really,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Did that go in the bin as well?
Yeah,
straight in the bin. Garfield, Beavis and Butthead, hate them.
Yeah.
What would have been the calendar you would have liked to receive?
Yeah. You know, I don't know. One of them with, you know, little kittens or, you know, kittens in a basket or... I don't know. There was a thing called Forever Friends, and I had a wall planner, Forever Friends wall planner. I used to love that. Or, you know, I don't know.
Well,
I mean, New Kids on the Block.
Yeah. Well, that is
You want kittens or Forever Friends?
Or New Kids
Garfield's
on the Block.
Garfield's a cat, and Beavis and Butthead are Forever Friends.
Yeah, come on.
Nice try.
What more do you want?
Nice try.
There's a lot of crossover there.
And then, we were talking on the show the other day about Bill and Ted. Oh, that's another pair I can't bear. It's just not me. And I'm sure they're very nice people.
Bill and Ted?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill and Ted are nice people.
They seem like nice people.
Yeah, they do.
They just want
called my child Ted, but...
They want everyone to be excellent to each other?
But I don't want a Bill and Ted calendar.
You wouldn't want it?
No.
I mean, that's a
How
shame.
How have we got to calendars from Beef Wellington?
Well, I brought up Garfield again because it's funny that you don't like Garfield. And then we've discovered you also don't like Beavis and Butthead and Bill and Ted. It's worth it.
It's very specific, isn't it?
Yeah.
I feel bad now. They probably are very, well, I mean.
You don't like two men who hang around together a lot and are best friends and love rock music. That's
well, actually, when you put it like that, it's like my husband and his best friend, Trevor. But...
Hey, Trevor?
Who the kids call Uncle Treasure. That's not his name.
What's your husband's name?
Charlie.
So Charlie and Trevor is a bit like Beavis and Butthead. And
They are. Actually, they really are. Maybe that's why I'm so annoyed with Beavis and Butthead.
What would you do if you got a Charlie and Trevor calendar?
Oh, my goodness. Bin. He was our best man. I love him dearly.
Yeah.
I love him to death.
Uncle Treasure.
He's lovely. But together. Oh.
Right. Your dream drink.
This is a hard one. So if I'm hungry,
yeah,
and I'm in a restaurant and I think these people are going to be late or they're very slow with service here, I'd have a Bloody Mary.
Mm.
Because that is a meal in a glass.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's the fun version of a Slim Fast, isn't it? Shake, I always think. There's more to it. You yeah. know, it's quite meaty for a drink.
Mm, yeah.
Fills you up. So I like that. I don't like the lemon in a Bloody Mary.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
What is that about?
What's it
Why
doing
do
in
they
there?
Put them... It doesn't go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely agree with you.
I don't want it in there. I would accept a squeeze of lemon in there, actually.
No.
I would accept that. But it's not essential.
You wouldn't squeeze lemon in your tomato soup, would you?
No, you really wouldn't.
No, but this is a Bloody Mary.
Yeah, but it's the same flavour profiles.
Exactly. Mm,
I don't know. I do like the accoutrement.
Wow. In a, that's a word for a
I'm just trying to join in with the French stuff.
Do you like those Bloody Marys where they like put bacon in it and stuff?
No.
No.
What do you want in there? Because like...
Pepper.
Spicy.
Celery is fine. Although... I don't know whether we should go down this road,
I think we should.
Okay.
I love this road.
Celery, I used to like.
Mm, yeah.
Celery with a bit of salt. Mm-hmm. I had COVID. Yeah. Celery now tastes like beef. So I can't cope with it anymore.
Fucking hell. I bet there are a lot of people listening to this who are jealous.
Yeah, I would. I'm jealous.
So many people hate celery because they say it tastes like nothing. It's watery. Yeah. If it tasted like beef, they'd be like, great. I can have like a
celery Wellington.
It's like a pepperami.
No. Because you want what you're eating to taste like what it looks like.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, celery now is, well, it's lost its appeal. I can't even tell you. But in a Bloody Mary, if it's spicy enough, it'll take the beef element away.
Sure.
Right. Okay.
Also, you know, a bit of beef in your Bloody Mary wouldn't go amiss completely.
I suppose, but I'm also not going to go to the bar and then explain this whole thing that celery now tastes like beef. They look at me like I'm mad.
Yeah.
And so I just let them put it in.
Have you Googled it to see if this is a thing? Because, like, sometimes, like, yeah, people had COVID afterwards, like, oh, no, it's like, for example, I got a sty in my eye. I was like, I never get styes. Mm. And then I got one again. I was like, what is going on? And then I Googled it. It was like a lot of people who've had COVID and then suddenly they start getting styes.
No way.
Afterwards. And so there's a whole bunch of things that people are finding, you know, post having COVID that
well,
is actually quite common. So maybe if you Google
celery problems,
COVID, I'd say you need to put celery, beef and COVID.
Okay.
Those are the three keywords.
We should do it and see what happens.
Would you prefer styes in the eye or celery to taste like beef if you were given the option of...
Oh, easy. Celery to taste like beef day.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also red wine tastes funny and I love red wine.
That's a shame.
Wine.
That would bum me out.
But I'm pushing through.
Yeah, you've got to. Yeah.
What does it taste like, red wine?
Like I've got it from the garage. Like really cheap, awful, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how expensive it is. They all taste the same.
That's gutting.
Oh, that is sad.
But I'm pushing through.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
If you add enough Tabasco, it covers the taste,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, so you're having Tabasco in the Bloody Mary?
So I'm having Tabasco in the Bloody Mary.
The celery.
Not lemon.
No lemon. Which one is it?
Just all of that. Liam Perrins. All of it.
Olives?
Yeah, all right. On a cocktail stick.
I've enjoyed olives in a Bloody Mary.
Well, I only order a Bloody Mary if I'm hungry. So all the extra bits, even if the celery does taste like beef, is welcome.
Surely you're not hungry at this dream meal, though, are you?
Well, no, but this is before. So this is an aperitif slash little snack.
So you're chugging the G&T straight onto the Bloody Mary, then onto the the bread
fest. Gosh, I'm making myself feel a bit sick when I'm thinking about everything that's in my tummy after this dream meal. But Bloody Mary aside, if I'm not hungry, super hungry, straight in wine. Wine all day.
Even though...
Not all day. That would be irresponsible.
Yeah. You can hold it together on the one show if you've been drinking wine all day.
There's a wine called Bread and Butter. Have you tasted this?
It's been brought to our attention.
Okay. Yes, it has.
So,
Michelle Keegan.
Yeah, Michelle Keegan, who chose bread for every course unknowingly and figured it out as she was going along that she just keeps choosing bread. And then she said this wine and then really she said that she needed locking up.
Bread and butter is a Chardonnay?
It's a Chardonnay. I think it's Californian. Bread and butter is delicious.
Yeah. Would you like to, you know, share a bottle with Michelle Keegan?
I would. As long as we had another one. Because I don't think there's anything worse than opening a bottle of wine that you're really enjoying, knowing that you haven't got one in reserve. You want to decide when to stop, not the wine, I always think.
I think a lot of people have probably, listened to this podcast, have just stood up and saluted you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think you really spoke to people's hearts.
There. You need one on reserve.
Always definitely. One on reserve. And always something fizzy in the fridge because you never know when there's something to celebrate, I think.
One of your kids, they're fizzy.
They fizzy. They are fizzy with a bit of added fizz.
Put them in the fridge. Might chill them out.
Yeah, might help.
I think you and Michelle Keegan are going to get on.
I think so. I've interviewed Michelle a few times. She's lovely.
Yeah.
So I'll get the bread and butter in next time she comes on the one show.
Perfect. Oh,
she'll be ecstatic. If you, it won't, you do glass. That.
It went down. I seem to remember when she brought it up on the podcast, a lot of people were messaging me saying, I've not had this before and I tried it and it's fantastic.
Oh, it's really nice. A friend of mine bought it for me as a little gift. She brought it over on my birthday. And I thought, what is this?
Mm.
It's special.
Great. Well, it's always good when something gets a second shout out.
Chardonnay gets a bad rap as well, so...
You know it does, and years ago I would have gone, I'm not drinking that. But, I'm converted. It used to be Sauvignon Blanc, New Zealand, all the way.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I'll take either.
Bread and butter Chardonnay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Delicious. We arrive at the dessert, the dream dessert. I'm feeling good about this.
Okay, well, so James worries if people don't have sweet tooths. But what James might not have picked up on earlier is when we were talking about bread, you said you could happily eat bread, cheese, and drink red wine with every meal.
Mm.
But you also said you don't like savoury pretzels, but you like sweet pretzels.
Mm. Yeah.
So this is tricky.
Mm. Could go either way.
Can you predict?
I think it's going to be something. I think it's going to be something like an apple crumble with custard.
Oh no, I hate custard.
We also established the custard thing, James.
What, did we?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Wobbly custard that's been set in a custard slice.
I might have been texting my mum during this.
Oh.
You don't like them?
It's like, what's the difference between that and blancmange? And who's blancmange? Nobody.
Do you know Milton Jones, the comedian Milton Jones?
I do. Not personally, but I know, yeah.
Not related to him?
Nope. So.
That would be a real turn up for the
Maybe,
books.
Who knows?
Milton and I... Well, I was supporting him on tour in 2011.
Yeah.
The aim of the tour, besides doing the gigs, was to find the perfect custard slice because he loves them. And I've got a sweet tooth.
I agree with you, Alex. I hate that that texture.
The best one we found, maybe this will convert you, was in Wales.
Was it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I do like about
first
a custard slice?
First service station as you get into Wales.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
But then we went back to get it and it was like the service station had vanished and wasn't there anymore. It's like a ghost town. So I think something happened, something supernatural. That's quite...
is rare.
Were you going back the other way?
Oh, yeah.
Was it on the different side of the road? Custard slice, though, I tell you what I do really like about them. So I hate the middle bit, but I love the top bit, but especially the bottom bit where it's a bit soggy. Mm-hmm. So if I could have just those two sandwiched together without the rubbish in the middle, delicious.
Fair enough.
But custard slice, wrong.
So not an apple crumble, though, not something like that. I'm thinking like homely.
I've come round to custard,
mm-hmm.
but it's taken me a while.
Yeah.
But I'm not, it's all right. No. Okay, I'm going to go eat and mess.
Oh.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah, yeah.
And my sister said to me the other day, about a year ago, I ordered eat and mess, and she went, oh, look at you going all English. What? It's just a pudding.
Yeah, but it's because it's called eat and mess.
Yeah, I know that.
That's why people get angry about that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know, I just love cream.
Yeah.
Yeah. So eclairs.
Yeah.
I'm in.
No.
Anything with a large amount of...
Hate eclairs.
Why?
I think I have an issue with a large amount of cream that's not sort of very sweet. So like eclairs sometimes, you're just like, they're full of air. There's so much air. It's like...
Where are you buying them?
Well, I'm not buying them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, Jay Rayner came on the podcast.
But he has got very high expectations when it comes to food.
Sure, but then he chose eclairs as his dessert.
Did he? Interesting.
And Ed did this for a little strop.
Yeah,
and then Jay Rayner was like, "You got to go in a maitre choux, was it?
Yes,
and you got to have them there.
Yes,
so much French in this podcast this week. And you said it was nice.
Yeah, it was. But I think I'm just thinking of like. Your supermarket eclairs.
Sure.
So what's the difference?
Yeah.
Are profiteroles just children of eclairs?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're sort of round little cousins, I guess.
Because
exactly.
Is it the same?
Yeah.
Okay,
because
a profiterole stack, nothing nicer.
Oh, great, isn't it? When I worked in a kitchen, one of the kitchens I worked in, they started doing profiteroles and you'd just be sneaking off to the fridge, yeah. the walk-in fridge constantly, and just whacking one in, bap, and then like, yeah. and going back in. It
I'm
was
with
so
you.
Good, especially like when they've been refrigerated for ages and they're a little bit firm as well.
Was there a big stack in there and you had to work out where you're going to take it from, like Jenga?
Yeah, well, it's a big pyramid.
Yeah.
Just one room, massive pyramid of...
you just hear, oh no!
Yeah.
James took one from the bottom layer again.
We know you did it, man. Oh, delicious.
Delicious. So pastry and cream mm-hmm. with a bit of, you know, chocolate that's hard on the top from being in the fridge. Yum.
I think the reason I like the Maitre Choux ones is I think they were not like airy cream in the middle.
What is Maitre Choux?
It's a place in Soho.
Oh.
It's gone now.
It was
a place in Soho.
Used to
it's
be.
Gone now.
I think it's been replaced by that Pasta Donata place.
Maybe, yeah.
A place that does the Portuguese custard tarts.
Oh, I can't get on board with them either.
No?
Well, I like them if I don't look at them. Here we go again.
Oh, yeah. It's a bit similar to a custard slice, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's Portuguese custard slice.
There's a nice flavour, but I don't like what it stands for, which is squidgy custard mainly.
But I think those eclairs, the Maitre Choux eclairs, had more of like a creme pat in there. So it was a bit more custardy, actually.
Yeah, a bit sweeter then.
Yeah, a bit sweeter, a little bit more solid. And I like that. But it's cream. I can't be dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas an Eaton Mess, because it's beaten so much and whipped, it's thick and you've got
It's got it all. It's got crunch. It's got berries to be a bit healthy. But it's got masses of cream.
Mm. Yeah.
Sweet, yummy.
Have you had I think they're called Maritozzi bun. It's an Italian bun. Maritozzi. I'm not like Ed. I don't know how to say things.
Don't try and throw this on me.
Where's Stanley Tucci when we need him?
Yeah.
He's been on the pod.
I know. I listened.
Yeah. Well, this bun, holy shit, you would love it, Jones.
So what's it called? Maritozzi,
I reckon.
Okay.
Maritozzi, I think.
Doesn't a double Z make a tut sound?
Yeah. Maritozzi, I would say.
Because of pizza.
I ordered this about five times.
Do you say pizza or pizza?
Oh, I say pizza.
Good. Because that would be ridiculous otherwise.
Yeah. Is that not right? this bun. And actually, the reason I got it was because of Tucci, the Tucci.
Oh.
Because I saw his TV show, Goes to Rome.
Taste of Italy.
And this guy surprises him with it. He's about to go and eat God knows how many meals in a day. He's in a cafe speaking to someone. And the guy comes out and goes, here's this bun. And the Tucci is livid. The Tucci is like, oh, Jesus Christ.
I can't eat this now. It's going to ruin the day.
This is like my head's worth of cream. Are you joking? And the guy's like really laughing.
Eat it.
Tucci's trying to do it. And then the guy comes out and has a go at him for not finishing it. And Tucci's like, are you shitting me? Do you know how much I've got to eat today?
I've not seen this episode. It sounds great.
They keep it in the edit. It's like I'm not eating this. But I saw it. I was like, that looks incredible. Because it's like 80% cream. Uh-huh. And then this bun that's like, you know, just they've cut a bun, slammed it with cream.
I'd love it.
There's some orange peel in the actual bun itself. And I found a place that did it next to the Trevi Fountain in
Rome.
If that's what it's called in Rome. This place, I don't even know what it's called. So I can't even write it down. I went there. I was there. We were there for 8 days. We went to this place five times. They did the best gelato I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
Those buns were insane. Best cannolis I've ever had. Ugh. We went and had everything. And like... it was so good. New Year's Eve, we had a really bad meal. We were really disappointed. And then we just went to that place and we got four different things and sat and ate all these sweets at like, you know, 12:30.
You don't remember what it was called?
No, because it was like a long name and it was, I might have screen grabbed it.
It's probably Greg's.
It was a Greg's. That was it.
It was a Greg's. It was the Italian Greg's.
I think it was a Greg's.
But this is the thing, you see, the Italians, I mean, Italian food is, I think, another level.
Mm-hmm.
Always safe.
Always safe.
Always safe.
Always safe.
If you know.
Do you know what I would say is, obviously everything's subjective. I think I'm just not mega into Italian food.
Can that be?
I know it's weird, and I happen to hold my hands up and go, you know, I'm probably missing out and I'm wrong.
So what, you don't like a spaghetti bolognese?
I do. I like pasta, I like pizza.
Do you like lasagna?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
pesto?
I guess, huh?
Pesto?
Yeah. Look. Yeah, hey.
Fine.
I like these things, but I don't love them. Unless it's chorizo broccoli pasta, then I love them.
Okay.
That's not Italian.
And then we went to Italy, and I was like, here we go. Now I'm going to finally get it and why these are some people's favourite stuff. And I liked all of it, but I just had to accept, do you know what? I think it's just not my favourite of all the cuisines. However, their desserts blew my mind. Look at that bun. Look at that bun.
Oh, my goodness.
You like that?
The bun is almost just there as a handle for the cream, right?
Yeah. It's just cream.
Now that looks like my perfect dessert.
How sweet is the cream?
Sweet, man. It's good. Like got icing sugar in the cream.
I'm on board.
Now I am eating it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's graphic.
Look, even your eyes are closed.
Yeah, it's pretty graphic, actually. That is picture. Graphic. Yeah. Ed's already seen it. I texted it to him.
I love it.
That's what I was eating it.
I think the thing is, it's more forgiving Italian food, you see, because, you know, a bit of cheese on it. What's not to like? But yeah. I mean, that I wouldn't have that said just was particularly Italian. That is just in the eat and mess camp. It's very delicious looking.
Yeah.
Cream, yummy.
I feel like we should have talked about eat and mess more, really. I think I've derailed it with this Maratozzi talk.
No, but we all know what eat and mess is. I mean, you're either in or you're out. People don't like sometimes the crunch of the meringue.
Yeah.
You know?
Those people need to get a life.
Well, some people absolutely hate eat and mess.
Nah.
I can't get on board with that.
No.
Too sweet for some people. Sometimes I can find it a good eat and mess, phenomenal. But it's not something that I think is always good no matter what.
I think you're right there. Yeah. I think there are variations on the theme and it has to be a very good one to be very enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Some of the rubbish ones, I mean, it's not worth the calories.
Yeah.
But if you're going to have a dessert, these people who say, well, I haven't got a sweet tooth. Well, don't order a dessert then.
Yes, thank you.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Either you're in or you're out.
Yeah.
If you're in for a dessert, you want it sweet. That's the point.
Yes. Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Would you have a dessert wine?
Yeah, yeah.
I'd have a dessert wine, yeah.
You look unsure, both of you.
I don't know, I definitely would.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Would you? We had that thing when those guys invited us to that wine tasting thing that we talked about on the pod before. Yeah. And that dessert wine they gave us was like liquid marmalade and I loved it.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I mean, I'll have a glass. If somebody gives me a glass, I'll drink it. But by that point of the meal, I'm kind of like, okay, now we're nearly done with the food. I'm just going to plow on with the bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I don't know whether a dessert wine sometimes
you'd want this dessert wine that we got given.
Yeah, that one's the only thing that for ages I'd say I'd never have gone for a dessert wine. But then those men who knew a lot about wine did change my opinion of quite a few things.
There's absolutely no worry. You've been worried about sounding wanky talking about Bob Rickard and stuff. Don't worry about that because James just brought up the time he had Chateau Yquem at Berry Brothers and Rudd.
Yes.
Which is literally the poshest story of all time.
Yes.
Okay.
Ed knows the names of them.
Yes.
I
because that is like the...
Yes, ridiculous.
Most ridiculous dessert wine.
Yes, and that's super expensive, isn't it?
Yes, bonkers.
But why were you tasting it?
They liked the podcast and they contacted us and went, do you want to come and
do this?
Are
they the winemakers, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
We had lunch in their director's dining room.
You know, we're not going to pretend that there aren't some perks to doing this pod. And sometimes you get invited.
My gosh.
You get invited to the higher echelons of society.
Well, somebody may just send you in a corned beef pie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'd be very happy with that, though.
I hope so.
I'd be very happy with that.
Wow.
I'm going to read your menu back to you now, see how you feel about it.
Okay.
Water. You would like G&T with signet, slice of orange, blood orange in there.
Correct.
And ice.
Yes, lots.
Pop-ums or bread. You would like a chip butty. Are we still going to do it with fresh bread and salty butter?
Yes.
Yeah.
Starter, a prawn cocktail. Don't look at the prawns. Main course, corned beef pie, cooked by your mum. Side dish, Dauphinoise potatoes from Bob Rickard. Drink, Bloody Mary, no lemon, and bread and butter Chardonnay.
Yes.
So the Bloody Mary is after the gin and tonic near the beginning of the meal.
Yes.
Dessert, an eat and mess, high quality, sweet as you like.
Correct.
Loads of cream. That sounds nice.
It sounds delicious, but I do feel like my tummy is like a washing machine now. That is a lot of information there.
Kicking off with the chip butty.
Have I overdone it? Am I going to hospital?
This is the dream restaurant. So if you are going to hospital, it's your dream hospital, which is a different podcast that we do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, someone else is probably doing it. Everyone does dream stuff now. Not slagging them off. Dream hospital's coming up. I'm sure someone's doing a dream. Someone's developing a dream hospital podcast. Yeah. Good luck to them.
Wow. I feel greedy. Mr. Greedy.
Oh, Mr. Greedy, the Mr. Man. Are you talking? Yes, that's the reference there.
When you read
like
that,
Mr.
Back.
Do you like Mr. Greedy?
I'm not sure. No,
Mr. Greedy gets my nerves.
Yeah.
We read a book most nights called Mr. Man's Baking Competition, and Mr. Greedy is the judge, and of course he eats all the entries before they've judged them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, of course he did.
Well, it's their fault for assigning the role of judge to Mr. Greedy, isn't it?
Who assigned the role?
Who assigned the role?
Mr. Clever. Was he that clever?
Well, that's ridiculous.
No. A dumbass.
Exactly, but that's the point of the story.
The other judge.
Yeah. Clever's not always clever, is he?
Mr. Corrupt is the other judge. Yeah. Thank you very much for coming to the Dream Restaurant,
Alex. I have loved it. I'm super full.
Thank you, Alex.
There we go. Great menu, James.
Delicious menu, I thought. Some absolute classics in there. But, you know, the corned beef pie for me is the highlight.
Yeah, I'm excited to try something like that.
And we learned a lot about Alex Jones.
We did. She hates Garfield. She hates Beavis and Butthead.
She hates Bill and Ted.
She hates Bill and Ted.
And afterwards, no, during, she told us she hates Mr. Greedy. He's in the gang too.
Yeah. Hates Mr. Greedy.
What a group to not like. What? I mean, I guess Garfield's a bit greedy.
Yeah.
He eats like entire stacks of lasagna.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, he puts them in his mouth, puts them away.
Beavis and Butthead aren't greedy though.
I don't think they are. Bill and Ted, I don't think they're associated with any particular food, but then they've got in common, you know, they're kind of like...
They're friends.
90s airhead duos, aren't they?
She doesn't like pals, young male pals from the 90s.
The MTV generation, I don't think, sit very well with her.
Great. That was great. I loved that episode, James.
Didn't say wontons.
Didn't say wontons.
So remains in the restaurant, gets to have the meal. Yeah, I mean, no complaints here.
No complaints.
And I think I might be getting that corned beef pie soon now. I'm nudging my mum about it.
Yeah, you keep nudging your mum.
My mum actually did text me back again.
Yeah.
Because she said, like, why do you want this? She said, have you recently discovered corned beef? I said, yes. She said, goodness, where did you have it? Not at a restaurant, surely. I said, it's just been brought up on the off-menu podcast. And she said, of course. Bet the posh boy has never had it.
What?
And then she put a little smiley face because she's being cheeky.
Tell her I used to have corned beef sandwiches.
Ed used to have corned beef sandwiches. And I bet she will reply before we've even done this outro.
Yeah, corned beef and pickle I used to have in my sandwiches at school.
Corned beef and pickle. I'll add and pickle.
But I used to eat them at morning break and then sneak in for... school lunch.
For the posh boy. She's never called you the posh boy before.
No.
I've never called you that.
Bit mean.
Well, it's because she knows I'm here with you now.
Yeah.
And that I'll tell you.
She's having a laugh.
She's being cheeky, like you were cheeky when you hazed her about the ice cream.
I'm going to keep hazing her. Thank you very much to Alex for coming in. Watch the one show, I guess, is the plug.
Immediately reply.
Yeah, there we go.
With a smiley face.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hasn't backed down on it.
I know, hasn't retracted it. She's really,
fair
in fact,
enough.
It's a bigger smiley face now.
Yeah.
And then she's put, not as posh as I thought, with two exclamation marks.
There you go. Love it. I'm on tour in Australia and New Zealand. If you're listening to this, when I am on tour in Australia and New Zealand.
This is the first time on tour, Ed, in these places.
First time I've been in Australia, full stop.
Aussies, you are in for a treat.
Melbourne for 2 weeks, then going all over the place. But I'm going to do a separate advert that Benito's going to put in. So you will have heard that already.
Oh, nice. Oh, do you say Cobbers in the advert?
Well, I've not done the advert yet.
Make sure you say Cobbers.
Yeah.
There are some adverts we do on the off-menu podcast that are just for the Australian audience. And we always say Cobbers in them.
Yeah.
So you won't know. If you're not in Australia, you won't know this.
Yeah.
You will never heard those adverts. But if you are in Australia, you will hear those. And maybe one of you once messaged Benito, DM'd him on social media to ask why we said Cobbers so much in one of the adverts. And do we know that's an Australian phrase?
Yeah. So will I say Cobbers in the advert? Maybe.
Maybe.
Listen out for that.
If you want to sell those tickets, I think you should.
Not sure. Thank you very much for listening to the Off-Menu Podcast. We will see you again next week.
Bye-bye. Goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.